from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
The Vols open as the number 7 team in the College Playoff Committee's rankings of college football's best. Oregon, number 1. Dave McGinnis, anything catch you off guard in the release Tuesday?
Iowa State losing to Texas Tech in Week 10 made the Big 12's path to 2 teams way more difficult. And the Big 12 is almost certainly stuck now at only one bid, regardless of what happens, and a risk of missing a bye. BYU ranks number 9, and they're behind 5 teams with a loss. That was interesting to me.
The interesting one to me was Boise State. They're with the Mountain West Conference, but if they remain in the top 12, they're at number 12, so they are technically taking up a place that a Power 5 team would probably fit into. But the interesting thing there, remember that the four conference champions get a first-round bye. That doesn't say the four Power 5 conference champions. So if they are ranked ahead of a Power 5 conference when all this is said and done, they not only will get in because they're a non-Power 5 team, Mac, they'll get in because they are a conference champion and will have that first-round bye. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Now, they got some games coming up, as everybody else does. But right now, to have a non-Power 5 team ranked in that top 12 that would be in, again, if we were playing today, pretty darn impressive.
You know, the season has proven one thing, that sitting around hypothesizing about where we're going to end up on this thing is a waste of time. I do find this interesting. There's just two games left between the top 12 in the regular season, Indiana and Ohio State, Tennessee and Georgia. So, Doug, it's those other teams. It's the teams from 13 down that are going to have so much to say, as really they have all season long.
Only Georgia has two games remaining with teams in the top 25 of this bowl. They play number 16, Ole Miss, and number 7, Tennessee. Nobody else even plays another team that's not – forget about the top 12. They're not even in the top 25. A little bit unusual. Again, though, conference championship games will going to affect that. And we do have four more polls where we're going to see some teams getting beat, moving in and out.
Well, I think what you look at, though, Coach, is for the first iteration of this, everybody keep in mind, this is the first time that this has been presented and done. I think that the interest – that it has caused is immense. It's immense. And plus, you talk about the matchups that are left. There is still intrigue left in this thing because you just don't know how this stuff is going to play out. And so the matchups that you thought might be significant, all of a sudden they're not. But then some that you thought wouldn't even figure in, you start looking at it. If the right team loses or the wrong team loses, however you want to look at it, that perspective, this thing is a long way from being over.
The Vols escaped Kentucky's upset bid with another second-half turnaround. When do we start taking the data and say, for whatever reason, that instead of it being an anomaly, that maybe the Vols are just not a good first-half offensive football team, that they're not going to change that? But then I guess you say that and you say, well, how does that really make any sense? Why would you not be good in one half?
When you look at it, it's all about execution offensively. If the quarterback's on target, then the receivers are dropping the ball. If the receivers are open and the quarterback is not hitting them, the offensive timing in the first half has not been consistent or productive. Cleaner operations needed offensively in their first half. I know that's what these coaches are talking about, and I know that's what Josh Heupel's emphasizing.
Well, here's where experienced coaching and coaches who have been around a while, this is where they can really kind of take center stage. The last thing you want to do is to overthink why something's happening or overanalyze why something's happening. Does it make any sense that you score, you know, a bunch of points in the second half and none in the first half? No. But don't overthink it. Just keep working hard. Keep working to improve. Keep working to get good game plans in there. And it really has all come down, in Tennessee's case in this instance, because in the first half they're making silly penalties, taking silly sacks. A few turnovers that they've had have been in that first half. So they honestly are stopping themselves. More so than getting stopped consistently by the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, Coach, and part of the overthinking of it is, and I've been asked this question, you know, just our defense is throwing them something different in each first half. Defenses are always going to game plan you when they're looking, but I think it's no more about what the – I think it's more about what the offense is not doing rather than anything exotic the defenses are doing, to your point. The self-sabotage early is what the issue is. And that, to me, you talk about not overthinking it. You know, we've seen this offense once it gets into rhythm and working. So I think if you start pressing, you might make it worse. Don't press. Just play.
Defense not quite as efficient, especially against the run in the Kentucky win. Any major concerns there?
No, not really. The run game fit problems in this game. And you go back and you look at the plays, there were really only three or four plays that you would call not really even splash plays. They had one play 50 yards on a splash play that simply the gaps just weren't there. Any running back could have ran for 50 yards. Someone could have run for more than 50 on that. But those are problems that can really be easily fixed. Coach Mack has talked so much over the years as a defensive coordinator that, you know, it all gets down. There's seven gaps. You got to have a hat in every gap. And when you get two gaps in one gap or two hats in one gap, you're going to have problems. And that's what happened early. They got a couple of big plays on that. But Tennessee shut that off pretty quickly, the second half in particular.
Well, I agree, Coach. I mean, in watching the play and going back and looking at some of the explosives, that they have not given up very much. The linebacker play and the fits, as you were saying, they were not as exact early as they were later in the contest, as they have been during this season. That 50-yard run was just completely no fits. It was a clear view downhill run. You know, the fits were not off. The linebackers were late. I don't think it's an area of great concern, and here's why it's not an area of great concern to me, because of how strong the front plays. And if the front is playing strong, you can make up for some misfits in the back end, because the guys up front, they'll clean it up usually for you.
Hey, and Kentucky deserves a lot of credit. They came into this game depleted. It only got worse as the game wore on with more injuries, and they gave Tennessee all they wanted.
Yeah, well, Larry, Kentucky was playing with their backs to the wall, and we talked about the fact prior to the game on this show last week. Kentucky has always been a physical-natured team under Stoops. Always. You could see it in the tape from this year. They're a physical team. Now, are they a dominant team physically now? No, but they are. And you knew that coming into this ball game, they were that consistently in this game, regardless of the missing pieces that you're talking about.
They were a depleted team. They had six or seven guys that were, if not starters, big contributors that didn't even play in this game. But during the ball game, what really affected them a lot, they lost their deep threat wide receiver and their kick returner, and they lost their starting quarterback. You know, you got a quarterback in there that really the second half, Tennessee knew was not going to throw the football. He was more like a wildcat running back than he was a quarterback. But one of the reasons why they lost him was Tennessee played as physical tackling, strong tackling. We saw this started going back. Tennessee's been pretty physical all year long, but going back to the Alabama game on the young wide receiver, the Williams youngster, the game plan was there to hit him hard, and hit him often. That was the game plan in this game too. So there were some physical hits that those guys didn't go out of the game because of a pulled hamstring. They went out of the game because they got hit a couple of times, took them out of the ball game.
This is Coach to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a ride share. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hey there, I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a woohoo! A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no woohoo! Idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's woohoo! A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win woohoo! Big. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit. Stay. Eat.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Coach to Coach Lessons, where our coaches go behind the stats, behind the plays to explore what went right and what went wrong, and more importantly, maybe the implications. Our Tennessee-Kentucky lessons. Doug Matthews, you said that Nico Iamaliava had the best game of his career. Why?
28 of 38 for 292 yards. He had a touchdown, zero turnovers. That's a 74%, almost 75%, three out of every four completions on that. But I think even more so than his stat, that stat, which is excellent, he did the things that Coach Heupel has talked about him being able to do. We've seen him practice some ball games, but the last couple of games had not been as decisive. And what do you mean by that? What do you mean by, hey, when I decide to do something, I'm going to go do it. If I decide to run, right or wrong, I'm going to go hit it. If I see the pass that needs to be thrown, may throw it not as well as I'd like, but that's where I'm going to go with it. I thought his accuracy, number one, was really top, was really good in this. He made a couple of bad throws or off throws. I wouldn't call them bad throws. But again, you go through a game like that, you throw for 75%, you have zero turnovers, you pick up some key first and tens with your legs. That's a big-time game in today's college football.
Nico was smoother, and he was more relaxed in his decisions and his throws. And there's a couple of wide receiver drops that prevented his numbers in production from being really dialed in looking. And so he was on time with his throws. I agree, Coach, with his decisiveness, both with his arm and with his legs. And when you watch a quarterback that it looks relaxed when he's playing, there's a difference in playing fast and playing frantic. He was not frantic in this game at all.
Last six quarters, going back to the second half of the Alabama game, this offense, you just watch it enough, you've seen it enough, this offense is close to getting this passing game going. Running game is there.
Made some nice throws on third downs. The throws were on time. Not as much indecision and inaccuracies that have caused him problems earlier. And close, I think, Coach, is a really good adjective here, because you can see where the and I call it the smoothness of the operation is coming between the quarterback and the play that's called.
Drops are a part of the game, obviously, but those are details, as Josh Heupel called it on Monday. Details that just seem to be hitting at the worst moment for this offense.
Especially those two throws that I'm talking about earlier. Those drops were perfect throws for this offense to percolate. And they should have been. And those types of catches have to be made. There are really no excuses. Those are correctable moments. But both of those were perfect throws. And they probably both were scores or close to it.
The one by number 11 in particular, we talk so much about technique. Nice throw, nice zip in there, little skinny post. He tried to catch it in his body, except in his hands. Now, I've been around a lot of outstanding wide receiver coaches, and every one of them talk about, hey, you catch it in your hands. Don't try to catch it in your body. Now, I will say, number 87, big tight end, he got hit about the time or right after in the end zone. That would have been a touchdown pass, but just from a technique perspective, the thing that he did not do is you catch that ball in a tight combative catch and get that ball pulled back in where you can't get it knocked loose. Good play by the Kentucky defense, though. But the slant routes are number 11. If he catches the ball, that's a touchdown. And of course, number 17, who has made some great catches here, he had a long pass that normally that would have been a catch by him.
Well, concentration is usually the problem with wide receiver drops that are clear view throws. And we're talking about clear view throws, that everything synced up, it was right there. And really, as you're coaching this, I've been around some great wide receiver coaches in my time with some really good receivers. Coach, the thing that you talk about, more concentration on the catch first, rack or run after catch later. Let's talk about somebody else that had the ball thrown to him a lot, Coach. Tight end Miles Kinselman, he was the leading receiver. He had his best game receiving and run after catch. He's a big part of the game. Six catches, 97 yards, 16.2 average, one touchdown, long of 31. He won his matchups versus linebackers and safeties, and he did a nice job of finding open spaces in zone defense.
You want to find out what a play caller, in this instance in Tennessee, it's the head football coach, what he's trying to get accomplished, just watch how he starts the ballgame. Kind of interesting this. It was clear from the very first play. Tight ends were going to be involved in the passing game. By the way, nine catches for the total tight end group, nine catches for 132 yards and one tight end. That's a big day. As you mentioned, Kitzelman had the majority of those. But the other thing, they got the ball early to Brew McCoy. Why? Brew McCoy is your leader. He's back healthy now. You have to establish that him as a threat to catch the football. That kind of sets everything else up. So those two things. But the tight ends, clearly, as we've seen this game progress, this season progress, tight ends are becoming more and more part of the pass offense. They've always been big in the run offense and also the pass protection offense. But for Coach Heupel, especially in this ball game, and I think we're going to see this in the future, getting that ball to those tight ends is going to be a big part of his game plan.
Yeah, and I thought he had a really nice block on a swing pass to Dylan Sampson. It's the one that it sprung him. It's a nice job of finishing the defender in open space. That's a skill. That is a skill, finding somebody in the open space. And plus, he's a good blocker on the edge. And he had a nice game.
Well, he's smart. He's a smart route runner. He's a fifth-year senior, by the way. He came in from Alabama, so he's played against a lot of really good defenses. And he's a big target. Tennessee is playing a lot of 12 personnel, which is two tight ends. So he's getting a lot of playing time. He's really playing well and a very dependable player.
How about a drive to end Kentucky's hopes? Not much better than what we saw in the fourth quarter Saturday night.
I don't think there's any question in conference play. It was the best drive of the year. Tennessee, there's fourth end of the fourth quarter. Kentucky has just scored to get back within 3 points. Tennessee had been up two scores. They got back within one. 10:09 on the clock. They were backed up. Tennessee backed up on their own 9-yard line, 91 yards from pay dirt, and they had a 3-point lead. 91-yard drive. 13 plays with Sampson topping it off with a touchdown. 5:14 off the clock. Game over. Two scores up. Game over. You still got to play a little defense. That is a huge confident building drive. 13 plays. Again, over 5 minutes off the clock. I would be willing to bet probably in the last, since Coach Heupel's been there, they don't have long drives where they keep the a lot of time off the clock. That was huge, and it was a good play calling and excellent execution.
Well, when you're watching live the thing, Coach, watch that thing unwind. You had a feeling that if they put it in the end zone, it was going to be done. And they pulled it together collectively, mentally. And then they went out and executed. And that was on a must-have it drive. And it was a nail in the coffin for the Cats, no doubt.
And Sampson just continues to produce in this run game.
He had a record-breaking day, 28 carries, 142 yards, two touchdowns, and he continues to be a player that you can count on. At this time of year, especially when you're in a position to compete for a championship, if you have players that you know what you're going to get, and Sampson's one of those, they know what they're going to get out of Dylan Sampson. But again, another big day by him.
On the minus side, had his second fumble of the season, which is very uncharacteristic of this guy that is the top offensive weapon, no doubt. Ball security by Sampson. His second of the year, Heupel, in a good coaching move, I thought, gave him a chance to regroup mentally after that. Sat him for a while, and then he came back in and did Sampson things.
Yeah, one thing on that, and when I saw that, I thought the same thing but actually on that play, on that fumble, and if you go back and look at it, it got ripped out of there. You know, he slightly hurt his hand. He didn't come back in the whole first half after that
play.
Came back in, had a big second half on that. But they got a couple of nice running backs. He's the best of that group. And, again, came back. You look at that ball game. He had 28 carries and set out almost the entire second quarter. He would have been up around 35, 40 probably if he'd have played as much as he normally does.
And I thought, too, guys, that Nico made some nice plays with his running. But he looked more natural when he ran. He wasn't in a hurry, but he was smooth and decisive. His legs are an element for this offense, and if defenses have to account for that, that is just a plus for Tennessee's offense.
What the great John Wooden say in basketball, which is so applicable in football, be quick, but don't get in a hurry.
There it is.
In the red zone, things get tougher. We know that. But the Vols did have some issues there Saturday night.
Well, Larry, everything is condensed. We've talked about that before in the red zone. Decisions have to be made quicker. Throws have to be made precisely. Great example, the tight end drop that we talked about earlier, it was a touchdown. But in that restricted area, that ball has got to get in there as quick as possible. But as quick as that ball got in there, the safeties are so condensed, they don't have to worry about covering anything deep. And that was a violent, violent hit down there that was immediate, that dislodged that ball. Things happen very quickly, especially in the low red zone.
Let's say you're on the 10-yard line. That means there's only 20 yards of depth to be able to throw the ball. You want a team to get them where they have to throw the football and not run the football down there, because when you start throwing the ball down there, things go in your advantage on that. And that's been part of Tennessee's problem. When you have a second and 10 on the 10-yard line, is immensely more difficult than second and 10 back on the 50-yard line. Again, because you don't have that depth in the passing game. Most defensive coordinators will tell you, we want them to throw the football down there, because when that ball goes up in the air in that condensed area, we got a chance to get off the football field. And again, if you put yourself in a passing down there, advantage in that area, inside the red zone, when you get in a passing down, the defense knows you're probably going to have to throw it. That it's a huge advantage for a defensive play call.
Play calls. Official calls. Wrong calls. We break it all down. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. This is Coach to Coach.
Bucks. Cash. Bread. Coin. Dough. Bank. Loot. Cheddar. Whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. Four great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins. Well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, to be successful, you need five-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Our coach-to-coach lessons from Tennessee's win over Kentucky. As we continue, Vols getting set for another night game, Mississippi State. All right, let's start on the defensive side with takeaways as we examine the Tennessee defensive lessons. For 2 years, you both talked about the need to get your hands on the ball if you're Tennessee's defense and just make a play, not necessarily take the ball away, but make a play. Key times all season, and again against Kentucky, turnovers.
Three big takeaways in this ball game, Larry. Two interceptions and a sack fumble. And from those three takeaways, 14 points. And not only were those takeaways big takeaways, where they happened inside the 30-yard line, Kentucky's 30-yard line. So not only when you get a takeaway and then the offense comes in and scores, that's almost like getting two or three takeaways. Big plays, big plays on that. One of the reasons why I think Tennessee's getting their hands more on balls back in the secondary is because of that corner play. We've talked and discussed it so much. Being able to play press man coverage and force and be able to cover those good wide receivers, which Tennessee's done an excellent job of this year. That means you got to start throwing the ball more in the middle of the field, and that's where you have an opportunity to go make plays. We've seen Will Brooks make some huge plays in there, breaking on the football, but a lot of it has to do with this year. Tennessee is able, from a cornerback position, again, to play press man where they don't need a lot of help, where you can keep those safeties and that nickelback, star back inside to make some plays.
And I think this defensive front is extremely disruptive. And we know that. It's disruptive against quarterbacks' timing. And when they're in third and throw or second and throw, and you don't have a 50-50 conflict with this defense, and that defensive front can tee off, then, and these corners are, they're physically and ability-wise, they're better suited to play aggressive man-to-man and make plays on the ball. You brought up the safety play. It's excellent safety play, read and recognition off of directional delivery keys when the quarterback has to throw. I think all of that figures in here.
Kentucky had 12 drives, 12 possessions this game. Five of them, almost half, ended like this. On downs, didn't pick up a fourth down, down on the goal line, that was huge. Interception, fumble recovery, interception, and downs again. Only two touchdown drives all day. That is a very, very good day.
How was Kentucky able to find some places to run, especially early?
Yeah, backers were not filling as aggressively early, and there was a couple of times that the interior was cut out of their gaps. We've already gone over that a little bit at the snap, and everything has to be in sync. Everything has to be in sync. It's a numbers game in there, and if everybody is in the gap they're supposed to be in, and the overlap players, wherever they come from, are overlapping correctly, either inside or outside with their fits, there's no place to run. That's what happened.
Well, those inside runs that picked up yardage, again, there was only a couple of those. It was exclusively with the safety and one of the linebackers. I don't know which one was supposed to be in the other gap, but they were both in the same gap. Again, it opened up a hole, and when you have that, you got to have somebody come up and make a play for it. But that, again, that's something that can be worked on and get better. Remember, with Keenan Peely out for the year, Tennessee is playing actually now. Their three linebackers that they rotate in there are two true sophomores and one redshirt freshman. They're going to make mistakes. And one of the things, Mac, we don't talk a whole lot about is playing in Neyland is great. Playing at night is great because you got that crowd there. And while that crowd affects the offense, it also affects your defense because your defense can't hear either. So sometimes you have a few communication problems. But that's where the eraser, I believe, is what Coach Mac calls him. That's why when you're going to have gap fits, you're going to have some gashes, you're going to have some missed tackles up there. That's where you need that eraser back there that's going to come up and hold a run to maybe 10 yards instead of 30 or 40 yards.
Well, and the two linebackers, let's talk about Carter and Smith. They had 19 tackles between them. So they were very productive, but the tackles numbers were good. And what we're talking about is second-level tackles taking place a little too far past the line of scrimmage early. Now, they cleaned it up later in the game.
Smith in particular, redshirt freshman. I have really been impressed with as much as Coach Inge, which is the linebacker coach, but also certainly the defensive coordinator, Coach Banks. They're playing a lot of players now. They've always played a lot of players up front. By the way, I try to keep a count on this, Max, so you know. In this ball game, Kentucky game, four defensive line positions, Tennessee played 16 different players.
Wow.
In those four. Now, TCU math, I think, would give you about what? That's about four deep, right, at every single
position. That's high math for me, but you're right. It's four deep.
Anyway, they're playing a bunch of them. Linebackers are getting a little more. This linebacker group doesn't have a whole lot of depth. Their fourth linebacker is injured also, so they're really playing with three with Peely out. Young, as I mentioned, but, boy, they're starting to really come along. The great thing about playing young players is that they become older players, more experienced players. All three of these guys playing at a pretty darn high level right now.
All right, let's talk some teams. Three missed field goals in this game.
Yeah, and you've got to admit that Max Gilbert is now officially struggling. He has to get his stroke back. I am not, and I'll admit it, I am not a kicking technique guru, all right? All of my years of coaching, when I had the ability to hire coaches, special teams coach, I would hire, and he would coach them. But he was automatic earlier in the year. He missed 250-yarders previously, but these three misses were inside of that range. You've got to be automatic. You've got to be automatic with those. So whatever it takes to clean him up, that's what they got to do.
This is one of the areas that is difficult to handle. It's a position, the kicking position, punter somewhat like, but certainly when you're a kicker or a place kicker, it's so much technique. Because, you know, it's kind of like they tell me, a golf swing. I'm with Mac. I worked a lot with kick coverage teams, but never with a kicker. But you get just a little bit off in your fundamentals, and, you know, you pull a ball a yard to the left, you miss. You push it a yard to the right, you miss. Coach Heupel, after the ball game, I thought hit it pretty close. He said, you know, number one, and rightfully so, he said, we got a lot of confidence in this young man. We've watched him kick. He's a redshirt freshman, so they saw him kick all last year. They know what he can do. What you have to do, and you got to be really careful about this as a coach. Coach Majors, who is a kicking coach and also the head coach, he didn't let anybody talk to a kicker but him. He didn't want another coach talking to him. I'll handle all this, you know. And the reason why is this. If that's the one, it's kind of like quarterback throwing the football. If you lose your confidence at that position, you are done. And I think the head football coach, I saw one time when he came off the field, he put his hand around his neck. I'm sure he's just trying to give him confidence. Give him confidence. Head coach, but mostly your teammates and your team leaders, they got to make sure that kicker knows, hey, we're behind you 100%. Little different because they don't get that many plays, but it's just like when a quarterback overthrows a ball or throws a bad pass or somebody makes a bad tackle or somebody makes a bad block, somebody fumbles. We all make mistakes. But again, Mac, we can almost guarantee this. Tennessee's got four more games and then something, either a bowl game or something at the end of the year. At some point, maybe at more than one point, that young man's going to have to make a big field goal that's probably going to win or lose a football game.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bone nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Saturday's SEC lineup begins with Texas and Florida. Can the Longhorns run it on a Gators defense that's allowed more than 140 yards per game in each of the last three matchups? First meeting since 1940 between Texas and Florida. Ole Miss and Georgia face off. Guys, the Rebels, they're just kind of a hard team to figure out. Am I alone on that?
No, Larry, you're not, and here it is. Eight games into the season, Ole Miss is struggling with consistency. They're 6-2, but it's a mix of solid wins and disappointing losses. Initial non-conference success, I think it really kind of masks some deeper issues that emerged during SEC play, especially against teams like Kentucky. Unlike earlier game, Ole Miss kind of displays inconsistent energy and focus against stronger teams. That's what's beginning to rear its head.
The offensive explosion that Ole Miss had in Fayetteville, that is a tough place to play. 63 points up there. If Georgia catches an Ole Miss offense that is on, it's going to be a long day defensively down there. Let's just go back and think about the games where Georgia's had some problems. It's been in the secondary passing game. If Jackson Dart is on, and if they're running offensively like they can run, it's going to be a tough ball game. It was the most surprising game of all last week, and maybe the first half of this season for me.
Carson Beck, 17 touchdowns, but 11 interceptions. That's really the key number. Mississippi State is Tennessee's next opponent. The record may not show it, but Dave McGinnis, it feels like the Bulldogs have gotten a bit better every week.
Larry, I agree. When you kind of watch them chronologically during the season, Mississippi State was truly bad the first month and a half of the season, but has played better as of late, most notably on offense. Their strengths and weaknesses are pretty dramatically divided between offense and defense. The offense has been good over the last month of the season, especially when Michael Van Buren came in as a quarterback. They rank sixth in the SEC with 255 yards through the air, 270 yards over the last five games.
Difficult situation. You change to a very different offensive style. You recruit to that. And then, of course, Mike Leach passes away. And then you've got decisions to make about where you're going to go from there.
Well, not only that, then they hire a coach that had never been a head football coach for. He's an outstanding offensive coordinator. Listen, Mississippi State, when Coach Leach died suddenly, passed away suddenly, they were in a tough spot because they had brought in a completely different style of offense that you're alluding to. And you got to bring somebody in or keep somebody on the staff, which they did the first year, that really that's not his offense. You can't really wait 3 or 4 years to get your players in there. You have what you have, so you have to get them, you know, where they can, where you can do something with them. But it's, you know, it's a tough, tough situation. And day of the transfer portal in particular, you can bring some players in. But again, I think having that first year coach not really being comfortable being a head football coach yet, it's been tough down there. And it's been a tough year on Mississippi State.
All of those things in aggregate, adding together, it makes it hard. And especially it makes it hard if you're competing in the Southeast Conference. I mean, because what you are playing against week after week after week, once you get into conference play, are really good established football teams. That is another element that makes this issue for Mississippi State really hard.
Well, there's an old saying in football, you know, you have to have something to hang your hat on. But they have nothing to hang their hat on. They're not really good at running the ball. They're not really good at throwing the ball. And I'm talking about Southeastern Conference good. Defensively, they're so-so. Again, they don't have anything they can say, hey, we are good at this, and this is what we're going to build this team around this particular year. It's a tough situation, boy. It's one of those you got to grin and bear it and work hard and wait for next year.
Here's an example of that. First stat that jumped out to me. We're 9 games into the season. No tailback has passed 500 yards for the year.
Well, and in a year and a league that is running the ball really well right now. You got two young men. They kind of split the time, Booth and Daniels. You're right, Larry. Neither of them are at 500 yards. They do have a little over 900 yards, which is about 100 yards a game overall between them on that. But, again, not a good running team. They've scored 6 touchdowns between those two guys. Both of them are good running backs, not dynamic running backs. But that has been a problem without question, because what happens if you can't run the football? Well, you got to throw it, and that's been a problem.
Well, when they throw it, Coach, their top threat, their top wide receiver threat is Kevin Coleman. He's number 3. He's a junior. 5'11", 180 pounds. He's got 57 catches, 688 yards, 5 touchdowns for a little over 12-yard average. That's their top receiving threat.
They've been going back and forth between quarterbacks. You got Van Buren, which is more of a passer, and then you got Chapin, who is more of a runner. But again, they can't get behind one because they're both just average quarterbacks right now. Van Buren's a 57% passer. Chapin's 68% passer. Both of them, though, are very average runners. And, again, we've seen this this year in several different programs, particularly in the Southeastern Conference. When you're continually going back and forth between two players at that position, you're usually not very good on offense, and they're not very good on offense.
Well, when I go over this offensive line, guys, I mean, we're going to understand a little bit what we're talking about, what the issues they've had putting things together. And their left tackle, Maitland Ponders, he's a redshirt junior, transfer list, number 66. 6'5", 310 pounds, he came from Memphis, all right? Their left guard is Jacoby Jackson. He's a redshirt junior transfer. He's number 75, 6'6", 320. He came from Texas Tech. Their center, Ethan Minter, redshirt senior transfer, number 67, 6'2", 305. He's a double transfer. North Texas, Arkansas State. Now he's at Mississippi State. Right guard, Marlon Martinez. He's a senior transfer, number 77, 6'5", 320 pounds. He came from LSU. That's 4 out of your 5 that are transfer players. Their only guy that is homegrown is a right tackle, Albert Reese IV. This guy is a redshirt junior, number 76, 6'7", 330 pounds. All of those transfers starting on your offensive line, that kind of points out the issues they've had putting this thing together.
29 sacks allowed by that group. Meantime, on defense, Doug, no one has more than a sack and a half.
Well, these two stats tell the whole story. There are 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference. In scoring defense, Mississippi State is number 16. They're giving up 35 points a game. In total defense, they're 16th in the Southeastern Conference. 460 yards per game and 37 touchdowns so far. When you're last in both of those categories, you can't be good enough. You can't score enough points on offense to win games.
Well, this defensive front, let's talk about it. Travion Williams, number 23, he's a freshman. 6'4", 295, 23 tackles, half a sack. Kai McClendon, 22 tackles, half a sack. He's number 90. He's a freshman. 6'2", 305 pounds. Suleiman Kapaka, 20 tackles, number 8, senior, 6'3", 300. And then Ashton Shepard, 19 tackles, half a sack, number 98. He's a junior, 6'3", 280. That's your front.
I think the biggest area where they're having trouble defensively is back in the secondary, handling the deep passing game. Now, some of that, Larry alluded to this, they don't sack many. They don't put much pressure on the quarterback. But they got bad matchups and man coverage. A lot of really good receivers in this league, quick receivers, fast receivers, big receivers. That's a big matchup problem then. And they also have had a lot of apparent busts in coverage on that. So you when you're going up against a fast-paced offense like teams running this league, and you have busts, and then you're talent-wise, you're not quite up to par, but it can be a long, long day quickly.
Well, let's cover the linebacker positions, and we're going over defense here, Coach. They play a jack linebacker, which goes to the tight end or strong side of the formation, number 11. Ty Cooper, he's a redshirt junior, 6'4", 245 pounds. He's got 7 solo tackles, 1 sack. Their will linebacker, it guy goes to the open side of the formation, Nick Mitchell, redshirt junior. He's number 40, 6'2", 230. He's got 15 solo tackles. And the middle linebackers, a guy named Stone Blanton. He's a junior transfer from South Carolina. He's number 7, 6'2", 230, 21 solo tackles. Again, a half a sack, 2 forced fumbles. That's the linebackers they have playing in this defense.
Get inside the huddle. McGinnis, Matthews, and you. Coach to coach. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands 5-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Bucks, cash, bread, coin, dough, bank, loot, cheddar, whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. 4 great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins. Well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
SEC Week 11, this is Coach to Coach, South Carolina at Vanderbilt. This is kind of a sneaky, under-the-radar good game.
Well, what Vanderbilt's doing well right now, as an overall team, they are a very solid, fundamental football team. And they got good players. They have a lot of great players, good players. And, of course, the big thing is they have a quarterback that can make plays. Solid fundamental defense, a quarterback to make plays. Mac, that's going to keep you in ball games.
Yeah, well, let's talk about defensively what South Carolina's doing right now. They are playing excellent pressure defense. Excellent pressure defense. They're hard to run against, and they really get nice pressure. When they get you in third and chains off of the edge, they're pretty salty.
3:15 Central kickoff Saturday. Oklahoma battles Missouri. That rivalry dates back to 1902. It's a playoff elimination game, Alabama and LSU. What's interesting about this game, Dave, the loser, a lot of heat.
Well, neither fan base expects 3 losses, guys. Alabama and LSU fan bases expect both these programs to be at the top of the SEC year in and year out. Loser of this game is going to be eliminated from the playoffs. High expectations on both sidelines.
Amazing moments, special players, stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
99 years ago, Gene McGever came to the University of Tennessee and rocketed to the top of the college football scene. He also brought Tennessee along with him into national awareness. This past Saturday, Dylan Sampson broke a 97-year record for rushing touchdowns at the University of Tennessee. Let's round it up, Mac. A 100-year record. How much are those around? The Bristol Comet, Gene McEver, held that record for a long time. Dylan Sampson now has an opportunity to break it. 19 touchdowns he scored. And what is amazing to me is that there are 5 games left that he will play, 4 regular season and then a bowl game or some postseason game. To be where he is right now, to break a record that was around for almost 100 years, we don't get a chance to talk about that too much. What a great player this young man has become.
The Winning Numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 127. That's where Mississippi State's rushing defense ranks in the NCAA.
Well, they're front 6 or 7, depending upon whether they have a nickel back in or another linebacker in. Very average SEC group. They're not strong pass rushers, nor are they physical against the run. They have a depth problem in several of those areas. And, of course, as injuries come this time of year, which they do, that just puts your depth in further precarious position. Here's what's going to be the interesting thing to me, Mac. How their defensive coordinator decides to defense this fall offense. You look at the stats, you say we got to stop the running game. But then you look, what are we doing with all, how do we stop the running game? How do we keep enough bodies up there with this spread offense that covers the whole field? Now, here's one thing that will help the Mississippi State defensive coordinator is he goes up against a very similar offense. As I mentioned, Coach Levy worked for Coach Heibel. He likes to spread them out also. So at least they'll know how to line up. But as the old saying goes, it eventually gets down to the Jimmies and Joes.
The number is 5.4. That's the number of times that Michael Van Buren will take the ball down and run from the quarterback spot.
Yeah, well, Michael Van Buren is a thrower. His long run is 17 yards. Against Texas, 12 times for minus 14. Now, that's because sacks take it off of your rushing, all right? One touchdown, long of 12. Against Georgia, 5 times for 15 yards, long of 6. 9 times versus Texas A&M, long of 8. Guy's not a great runner.
Whether you play at 11, whether you play at 3:30, 7:30, I found over the years the coaching staffs, they don't care about when. They just like the consistency. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, you like the consistency because we're all creatures of habit, and athletes especially are creatures of habit. But let me give a caveat to that on this. The consistency is great, but a night game at Neyland, in my opinion, that's a huge atmosphere advantage for the Vols. If I had the Vols, I'd like to play at night every time because that thing at night, as an opponent coming in there, that's a different animal.
Well, again, going back to the theme of overthinking, I had a really good head football coach when I was playing, and then I had another when I was coaching that really kind of put it in the right perspective. Hey, we play the same time as our opponents play. We play in the same weather they're playing in. We got the same officials. So, you know, whatever the problems we have, they have the same problems also. Bottom line is this. Hey, you're playing a game. I don't care if it's 6 in the morning or 6 at night, if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's so hot that you have to drink a lot of Gatorade. Again, you're playing on the same field.
First matchup since 2019, Saturday night, Mississippi State and Tennessee.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to coach.